Welcome back to Real Phonies, where we take a love for movies and television and combine it with very little knowledge about movies and television. I am your host, Christian, and joined with me, as always, are my co-host, Joseph.
Yellow.
And Jehu.
Ka-ka!
This week, we're talking about Venom the Last Dance, because we've talked about all the other Venoms. We might as well talk about this one. Unlike the other ones, this one didn't make a lot of money.
It's true. Man, that's too bad.
I don't know.
I was hoping it did well.
I'm not going to check the IMDb page.
I was about to say, I've gotten feedback from our last episode.
That Alien Romulus did actually make money. Ian corrected me on that, too.
Yes.
I think maybe we just assume because we don't leave the house that nobody's going to see movies.
I didn't even know Venom 3 was out and like on streaming. So how would I know if people...
I'm planting my flag that no movie makes money anymore. So I'm going to say it every time.
I mean, no movie makes real money anymore like movies used to make money.
I don't think... Avatar, I'll give, and maybe when the next Avengers movie comes out. If and when. We'll see, I guess, how these other ones do. But
I don't know. The buzz on Thunderbolts makes me think some people might see it.
That's true. It looks pretty good. Venom 3. It's got Tom Hardy. It's got...
Tom Hardy.
It's got Juno Temple. It's got that guy, Chiwetel Ejiofor, however you say his
so
name.
So close.
I knew you were going to critique me on it. I don't remember any other one else in this cast.
It's got the guy who's
Reese
already
Iffens.
Been in a Spider-Man.
Reese Iffens.
Which, by the way, you've got those are four British people who all attack the American accent differently.
That's true. That is true. And Stephen Graham.
Oh, yeah, Stephen Graham's in there. I really thought he'd be bigger this time around, but he was not.
It was really unclear to me. I don't know if you want to talk about the plot of this movie. There's very little plot, but...
Okay, so yeah, the plot of this movie is that Null is the villain, but not. You know what it reminds me of is in Zack Snyder's Justice League when it's a crony of Darkseid.
Instead of Darkseid.
Yeah. It is like that.
It is the cronies of Null, but not Null.
Right.
That they're fighting. And those cronies have no personality, by the way. They're just rage beast. And Venom just has to kill them throughout the movie.
Correct.
And they also just decided instead of coming up with a MacGuffin, Venom was the MacGuffin.
Venom's the MacGuffin. Also, back to the rage beast. It's just the monster from the beginning of Guardians 2. It's like it's got the circular mouth tooth and the tentacles. It's the same creature. Guys, I kind of had fun with this movie. It's bad, but I still have fun with them.
I'm going to go ahead and say right now, which is a terrible thing to say at the beginning of a podcast. First of all, is this the first trilogy we've done all three?
Like live when it's happened? As they've released?
Just period, maybe.
I feel like you know, that we covered as they come down.
As like, and one per episode, maybe.
I think so.
That hurts my feelings a little bit, yeah.
I think you could go back and listen to either of our other two episodes about the first two of this, and you've got it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what we're going to say
on this. I'd much rather just talk about what we've been watching.
I totally... Wait, first off, you were the one that fucking said we should do Venom 3.
I'm not saying against it, because I have lots of fun things to say about this movie.
I totally disagree with both of you on this.
What?
Because I think the first two were movies that should be bad and are kind of bad, but are also, like, kind of fun.
Right.
Like, kind of fun in a way that you, like, don't expect it to be. For me, this movie was not fun at fucking all.
I prefer 3 to 2.
I totally disagree.
I had so much fun watching this movie, but I've also had so much fun watching all of them. Here's my thing about this. These movies do not contain the things that people look for when they're looking for a good movie. But they're fun. They're dumb. They're very dumb. I probably said this exact same thing on one of the last two ones, but I'm going to go for it again. I had some interest in comics from like 4 or 5, but when I really got into comics was about 9 or 10. And I can remember the issue that really like made me think, you know what, this is going to be my thing. Transformers number 9. And it wasn't because there was any great story in it. It wasn't because there was just killer art on it. Introduces a character named Circuit Breaker who wears an outfit. And I would invite any of our listeners to look up Marvel Transformers number 9 and realize what a terrible thing that is to do to like a 9 or 10 year old boy. It was feelings I was feeling for the first time.
Mm.
But I think when I first really got into comics, I felt like comics weren't really for me at like 9 or 10. They were for like a 16-year-old. Like the stuff that I had been watching at that point, like Looney Tunes or whatever, now that was for babies. I was into comics. Now as a grown-up, I realized that was totally for an 8-year-old. And Looney Tunes are for weird old sadistic pervert like me. But
me
now, yeah. But at the time, I thought I was watching something advanced. And I think that's really a lot of what this is. The rated R on this makes it seem like it's for adults.
This is fucking rated R?
I think, wasn't it?
I think they
I know
all
one
are.
Of, I know Why? The last one was rated R. But this is the only superhero movies they're making for 14 years.
I was about to say, this should be a movie that's rated R that...
Like, I gotta know for sure.
Every usher should be mandated to allow any age
any minors in.
Right. Any minors
it should be
in.
Like, it should be like rated R with a wink.
Well, while Christian's looking that up, I do think there's an opportunity for you, Hurt, here, if you want to go a different route with your musical career, to making a parody of Love Potion number 9 that's
PG-13.
That's Transformers number 9. That fucking makes 100% sense, Christian.
It is the most PG-13 yeah. movie.
Okay, but one of these was rated R, right? I'm not wrong about that.
I don't know.
I might be wrong about that.
Listen, I'm going to plant my flag that any movie that heavily features the song Wild World, good in my book. Better than Transformers. there's no spoilers to this movie. Right. I'm gonna be very. We're not putting a fucking spoiler warning on this episode. Nothing happens.
No.
Eddie and Venom are on the run from these monsters from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. There's no plot twist. That's the whole movie.
And like Endgame or Infinity War, the last hour of this is a battle scene. But the difference is there's only like 40 minutes before that battle scene.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, which is awesome. I think that's efficient.
Yeah, I'm on board with that timeline.
Like, there was a point where, you know, they show a motorcycle and they're like, they're about to show Venom on a fucking motorcycle. Yeah. And then when they did, I was like, man, this movie knows exactly what it is.
Yes, to that. This whole movie is, you know, in the scene in, which Ghost Rider is it? Where Sam Elliott on a horse becomes a Ghost Rider.
It's the first one.
It's this whole movie tries to be that moment,
right.
And it's not that, but the way they do it is kind of like the funny version of that.
And I want to be clear, that moment isn't great.
moment is stupid. Yeah. They think it's cool, but it comes across as kind of dumb because that whole movie's kind of dumb. But this is like, oh, that movie, that is a cool moment, but what if we did it funny? And like, Venom Frog and Venom Fish and Venom Horse, right. Like... I don't know. It's a stupid joke, but I thought it was a good joke.
It was 100%. They was like, okay, what gags did we not use in the last two? That's what this one is. And I'm fine with that. Also, I don't know that I've ever seen someone have a fight scene in cargo shorts and Crocs before.
That's a good point.
That's a first.
I was trying to figure out, are the shoes just a recurring bit in this thing, or is that like a Venom thing? I actually spent like 80% of this movie trying to figure out which things were things that I was supposed to know were things and which they just weren't things at all. Like, all of the characters in it, like, do I know them already or have I just met them? I don't know.
Actually, there was two plots in this movie. There was Venom is the MacGuffin, and there was Juno Temple has a brother.
I guess so.
And every time you'd forget that, someone would look at her and go, remember your brother? And then she would look sad. But we never got any payoff on the brother.
No.
Was the brother the guy in the shadows, or was the guy in the shadows the general that shows up at the end? Do we ever figure out who the guy in the shadows is?
I honestly don't even remember there being a guy in the
shadows.
There
was a guy in the shadows.
I do remember this movie being like...
I just remember her. You just reminded me. There's like... there are so many fucking contrived tropes in this shit. But, you know, at the main part of the story, it's the general guy or the military guy who's looking at all the screens from CCTV
Classic.
Cameras
yeah.
from all over the world. But I forgot, you reminded me, that there is a separate one where we cut to another guy in a dark room who's also watching a bunch of CCTVs. But just in the military bases.
Right.
It's a very Who Watches the Watchmen situation.
I think this movie is just like Venom Chekhov's gun, because there's a lot of moments that's like, you see this acid? Remember this acid.
Right.
You see all these containers of Venom's things, symbiotes? Remember this. Like, but I don't think they are taking it seriously.
Right.
At least I hope they're not.
I mean, the thing is with this movie, for the most part, I enjoyed hanging out with these guys again. And by these guys, I mean Tom Hardy, and then Tom Hardy pretending to be a greasy slime monster.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. At the end of the day, the movie only works because Tom Hardy and Venom work.
Right,
I would argue it doesn't work, but that has always been the draw of these things. I would also argue that they're the least fun in this one that they've been in all of the trilogy.
Well, one thing I'm going to argue that on is I don't think since Bruce Willis and are in his prime have we had a better actor at portraying hungover. I could feel that dude's headache.
Also saving the world while hungover.
Right.
A key ingredient.
While continuously hungover somehow. To your point, there is a plot of this movie. There is absolutely no story.
Right.
The plot of the movie is the fucking null and the beasts and whatever. But like in the first movie, the story is like Eddie and Venom like becoming a thing.
Right.
Like kind of figuring like meeting each other. It's a meet cute. It's a meet cute love story.
Right, right.
Second movie is them questioning whether there's a marriage of convenience and whether they would be better apart, and they find out that they're not. That's the story of the second one, and Carnage is there.
Right.
plus Carnage.
And this one, there's nothing. There's no like you say, nobody has an arc. They don't have an arc.
The girl
with the brother has no arc. The girl who loves Christmas has no arc. The military guy has no arc. The only person that has an arc is fucking Aris Ifans, who starts the movie saying, "I want to hang out with aliens," and the second part of the movie, like, actually, fuck aliens.
Right.
Never mind.
Okay, so pause. That's the best fucking character arc ever. You made a movie about people who wanted to storm Area 51, and then the lesson being, you don't really want to storm.
You know, also, I didn't know if I would like Space Oddity done as Space Oddity done as a Jack Johnson song, but I kind of did.
Yeah. Listen, it's bad. It's worse than Transformers, but I would say I had more fun watching it than I do Transformers.
I'm having more fun talking about it now than
we're very animated, right?
I see, I'm going to go better with the Transformers just because streaming and remote work has invented a new category of movies.
Yes,
that is true.
Which is something fun to have on in the background. And these movies are fucking great.
I would agree. And see, I think that's where I went wrong, is I started watching this as just trying to watch
it. No, that's bad.
And that was a mistake.
But I did it the way Hurt's talking about.
That's how I watched the first two, and I think that's probably why I enjoyed them.
Well, I mean, that saying though, I watched the first two in the theater, and I kind of regretted not seeing this in the theater. This would have been fun to watch with a bunch of really dumb people.
Yeah, I do think I saw them in the theater, but I don't believe my theaters were crowded, and don't think this one would have been either. But I mean, listen, if you've watched the other two, I don't think it's significantly worse than the other two. You'd be losing out on not finishing this trilogy.
And it's an hour and 50 minutes. How much stuff gets it done in that amount of time?
Why is Danny Rojas in this movie?
Yeah. I don't know. I do know.
There felt like there was a plot there.
That's my argument for anything. It's funny because now that we're actually talking about it and I'm thinking about the structure of this movie is just a Godzilla movie in the sense that there's a bunch of fucking scientists and military people in it for no fucking reason and nobody cares about any of them.
The most inept person is the person who solves the problem in a class.
Right. And I also want to be clear that Chiwetel Ejiofor's fucking character, see, that's how you say it.
I don't think that was much different than how I said it. To be fair, I think it was pretty fucking identical.
Is clearly, and look, I'm not going to be the guy that claims to be the expert. We have an actual veteran on this podcast, but, you know, I don't know a lot about military shit, but it's clear that the person who wrote this movie has never met a military person or asked any of them about anything about this fucking script.
Right.
There's a bit, and it's my favorite fucking bit. Chiwetel Ejiofor is my favorite character just because he's
so bad.
He's a spectacular idiot and he's super indignant about it.
Yeah.
Like every time a dumb thing happens because of his choices, he's just like, "You killed my man." It's like, well, you kind of killed your man.
Right.
By being a dumbass. There's a bit where all the symbiotes are out and the evil things there and they're trying to like get out of the lab because it's fucked, and you know, I've seen enough things where there's a military guy that stands on a ledge and says retreat, but I've never watched a movie where a military guy stands on a ledge and says we are leaving. What are they doing in this movie? Fucking killed me.
That is funny. I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, it's
shallow.
Well, you know,
it's a shallow movie.
Well, it's you know, I think we should say that it does end with Venom dying.
Okay, there's spoiler for that.
He sacrifices his life to save the world and Eddie. Even though when he dies, he like basically looks in the camera and says, "This is only temporary." So, but then I was thinking, like, you know, well, this is the last one. Why did they do that? And then they have an after credit scene with Chekhov's cockroach.
Yes.
Where a cockroach gets infected with the remnants of Venom. And I'm like, why did they do this? This definitely seems like they wanted this to be the last one. And then I think, oh, this was leading to the crossover of the Sony Spider-Man villain movies that's never, ever, ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. We'll never see what happened with Null.
No.
So speaking of that, you know, I think as somebody who really didn't enjoy this movie,
right.
The joke I'd say is that, you know, my favorite part of this movie was the end.
Right. Because
then it was over. But it is true. My favorite part was the end, but not because it was over. Guess how fucking long the credits for this movie are?
Very.
8 minutes.
They are 16 minutes.
Holy shit.
There's a 30-second mid-credits thing with fucking Null or whatever. But 15 minutes and 30 seconds. There's 15 minutes and 30 seconds of human beings that made this fucking movie. And it's this goddamn...
I was about to say, I didn't time it, but I did, like... I went to sleep with 25 minutes of this movie left, and then I woke up and I'm like, all right, I'll finish this 25 minutes. And then I was done with that 25 minutes in like 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. That is nuts.
It is absolutely nuts. This feels like a scam to me. Somebody just pocketed some cash and put in some foreign names, and I don't know.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. It's like, what do the people always say is the front? Mattress stores?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
Venom movies.
Venom movies.
Adieu.
That's pretty good, actually.
Thank you.
All right, I think that's it. Worse than Transformers, yeah?
I'm going with better. If I have fun with a movie, it's better than Transformers.
It is shorter than Transformers.
Spoiler alert for a future episode of this podcast, I'm going better than Kraven.
I've still not watched
it. I haven't watched it either.
Well, that's a good transition because I watched Kraven.
But anyway, so yeah, that's it for Venom The Last Dance, which, you know, maybe will be the last dance,
yep.
Probably.
Based
on our imagined box office numbers.
I feel like since we're never going to get that, you know, Spider-Verse movie, then we'll probably get another villain, Venom, and they'll find a way to shoehorn Tom Holland in.
As we're reaching, I feel like...
I have a theory on this, though.
Kind of at the same rate. I'm totally going at a different tangent, so just follow me. Mm. But kind of at the same rate, as the superhero genre and success is declining, and the age and probably prominence of a lot of its major stars are kind of, you know,
right,
going to the other side of 30 and 40, do you think we're just going to get, like, a straight-to-streaming Venom movie at some point that's made for, like, $8 million with Tom Hardy?
As a person who watched Hellboy the Crooked Man recently, it's in that vein.
That's what I'm saying.
There's an argument to be made for that movie.
And, I mean, Tom Hardy's not opposed to TV. I hear Mobland's pretty good.
Yeah. What I think would be fun is that if they were going to do, like, Agent Venom, fucking make Wyatt Russell Agent Venom.
Right.
Like, get rid of the U.S. agent and just give that guy a badass Venom suit.
Shit, you know who they should get to? I can't think of his fucking name. Who plays Deathstroke?
Joe Manganiello?
They should get him to be Agent Venom because
Flash
he was
Gordon.
The first fucking Flash Thompson. Where's my paycheck, Hollywood?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, that would be fun, too. They're not going to do that, though. Mm. But, yeah, Venom definitely is in TV movie category as a character at this point. He's trashy enough.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for Venom, I think. What have we been watching for a little bit?
Well, Jay and I have talked about Skeleton Crew a lot, which I would like to do, but I'm going to run through some shit I've watched. I did watch Hellboy the Crooked Man. That shit is awful. It is so
bad. It looks like a fucking student film.
And it
looks like on the same level of that, like, what was it, like, goat vampire movie or something we had to watch one time?
God, I forgot about that. Yes, it's bad. It's terrible. I did watch Solo Leveling. Everything you say is correct.
Yes.
There's nothing to it except being cool as fuck.
It's fucking cool as shit. 100%.
I watched The Electric State, which this has got a lot of hate. I think that's, like, a totally fine, like, B-movie. I don't really know why people ragged on it as like the worst thing ever.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but I, just without seeing it, I felt like it was one of those things that the internet just decided to get on board about hating.
There's far worse things out there. Right. There's Hellboy the Crook in there.
Right.
I've been rewatching MASH. Fucking classic.
Man, MASH is so fucking good.
Yeah.
I have so much childhood emotion attached to like watching my uncle watch MASH.
Yeah.
And I just love it. It's just such a fucking good
show.
What
inspired it, Jehu, was last time we recorded, you talked about watching like shows that your parents watched
right.
when you were a kid. And right. then you were. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to watch MASH because that's what my, you know, right. I watched my parents watch MASH.
Right.
Yeah, fucking killer. I rewatched Andor for season 2. That show fucking slaps. Mm. It's so good. Mufasa. Better than The Lion King? The music? Dog shit.
Mm.
I don't...
Who wrote the music?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Mm.
So here's what's crazy. I also watched Moana 2 recently, where he did not write the music. Bad.
Now, look.
I can't figure it out.
why he's writing good stuff in some places and bad stuff in
yes!
other places? I don't know.
Moana 1, I think, is a pretty good movie. And I think the songs are pretty good. Moana 2, bad movie, bad songs. Lion King... bad movie, good songs. Lion King 2, good movie, bad songs. And Lin-Manuel Miranda is the constant through all of it. And I can't figure out the equation. It's a good movie, but it's the music's
bad. Maybe he's aiming at being Transformers.
So I,
ooh, that's a good...
Like, he's trying to get a perfect balance.
I don't understand why the Hollywood wokeness calculator doesn't include composer. Like, if we were making a movie set in Africa about lions, which they're lions.
Yeah.
But we decided in 2020,
hire a guy
whatever,
from Puerto Rico.
They're all going to be black because it's Africa. And right. I'm like, fine, you know, like, whatever. Live your truth.
Except for Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen.
But why doesn't the composer have to be black to link to your African heritage or something? I don't know. Anyway, it's a fucking weird line we're drawing here, but carry on.
I do... whatever. It's just funny to me, the one character that they're like, doesn't have to be, is the gay one.
That's a good point.
Movies on a plane.
Yes.
I watched Conclave before the Pope died.
Oh, right.
Did you make it happen?
It's pretty... I'm not J.D. Vance, bro. This is a pretty good movie. I don't think it's like Oscar worthy. In any other year except 2024, the movie sucked. I don't think it should have been nominated, but it's pretty good. There's a twist, and I knew there was a twist, and so I thought, oh, for sure, this is what the twist of this movie is. And then the twist happens, and my jaw was on the floor. It is really out of left field.
Well, I might watch that tonight just because of that.
It's on Amazon.
Pretty good. I watched The Green Knight. I've watched it before. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on this podcast. That movie's so just, like, cool. Like,
I've always meant to watch it.
It's good. Like, it's just, like, weird enough. Right. And I don't know. It didn't have, like, a huge following, I feel like. But it's good. People should check it out. And then I watched Nosferatu. And I don't really want to talk about Nosferatu as much as I want to talk about the awkward sensation of watching Nosferatu on a plane where everyone else can see what you're watching. That is worse than Transformers.
That's fair.
That makes you quite... You're like, these people think I'm a fucking pervert. But Skeleton Crew, you want to talk about Skeleton
Crew? I would love to talk about Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew kicks ass.
Skeleton Crew was great. And if someone in your life is telling you they don't like it, that's a bad person and you don't need them.
I can't even remember. Was Skeleton Crew the one about... What is
Jude Law.
Oh,
Jude
Law and the little
Star
kids.
Wars, yeah.
Like Goonies in space.
Yeah. So here's... I'm gonna make an insane statement. Do I think Andor is probably the best thing with Star Wars ever put on it? Probably.
Right.
Like, it is, like, a very high-quality thing. But when it comes to Star Wars, Skeleton Crew is the best thing since Empire Strikes Back.
I would say it's the... I like it because it understands the assignment the most. It is a thing for children to feel good about an adventure and learn a value or two.
We don't make movies like that anymore.
I agree.
And I feel like people have tried to do that and just haven't come close. I don't know what it is about, like, Amblin in 1994, but they just fucking forgot.
Right.
Somebody hit delete on the computer and we forgot how to do it.
Right.
Immediately.
Right.
Whenever Hook came out, at that point,
that
we forgot.
Yeah.
But somehow, what's his butt, the guy who made the last three Spider-Man movies, was like, what if I bring it back?
Right.
And he did it.
Right.
It's really, really good.
Here's the question I wanted to ask you the most.
Uh-huh.
Because, first of all, again, I loved that this was for children.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not some fucking guy on the internet who can't enjoy something that's not for me, an old man.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one part of I was watching that I really enjoyed, but I wondered if I was a kid, if I could have handled it.
Mm.
And that was that Jude Law had no redemption. Did that upset your kids?
Well, only my oldest watched it. My younger two, they didn't. They don't. My daughter really has no interest in Star Wars.
Right.
And my youngest, I don't think he's quite there for it. But no, it didn't. I don't even know that it really fazed him. I kind of liked that Jude Law was just a bad guy.
I mean, adult, I love that we met a scoundrel who was just a scoundrel.
Yes.
He just kept doubling down on being a scoundrel. But
a scoundrel with a regular old scoundrel heart.
Yeah.
But if I was 9 years old, I think that would have left me feeling hollow.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's another thing that I think we've lost from the age of television.
Right.
Is things that make you feel like that.
Right.
On purpose.
Right.
Yeah, I do think sometimes we try to justify bad guys too much.
Right.
Like, when in stories for kids, like, in, you know, a classic fantasy trope, there's just a guy to beat and you just beat him.
Right.
And that's what these kids do.
Right.
I mean, it maybe tries too hard to be Goonies or... I tend to say it's more Hook than it is
right.
Goonies. Everyone makes the Goonies comparison.
That appeals to me even more because I was too old for the Goonies, but I was definitely the right age for Hook.
Yeah, but there are moments where you're like, well, this is definitely Raiders. Like, you're just ripping this from Raiders.
Right.
But I don't think it's to the detriment. I just think it's very clear that they were like, this thing that you love from the 80s and 90s, we're going to kind of make an ode to that. We're going to do it in Star Wars, which is the appropriate fucking
right.
place to do it. And they do a great job with it. It just may be a little too heavy-handed. Like, it just may be a little too obvious.
I mean, I think I liked it because, you know, it was... you know, service for me as an adult.
Yeah.
But again, if you're 9 years old and watching it, that's just cool shit. You don't care about Goonies.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That show kicks so much ass, though.
Yeah.
It is so good. I really think, again, people shit on Disney Star Wars a ton, but it had a very good year, in my opinion. I enjoyed Acolyte. I enjoyed Skeleton Crew. Andor is fucking back, and it is fantastic yet again. I don't know if you guys are watching it, but it is kind of weird. Cassian is definitely a B character
right
in this season, but yeah, Skeleton Crew, it's fucking like five episodes or something. Please watch it.
I mean, the thing is, I think probably the worst thing Disney has done for TV with Star Wars was Boba Fett, and I liked that, so
yeah, I don't
it's
like
all
that,
better than Transformers for
y'all. I still have traumatic flashbacks to our Obi-Wan episode because I came in unprepared with the
you hated
enormous
it.
Gap between me
yeah.
and the rest of you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, Obi-Wan is one of the worst things I've ever put in my eyeballs.
I mean, Obi-Wan, I've watched again. That's how much I liked it.
Yeah, you should watch Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, I think I would like it.
Yeah. I think you would like it a lot. It's a
pretty
lot of
good.
Fun.
It's really good. The question is, will we see any of these people again? And I think of no.
Yeah.
There is a robot in there, Joseph, where the robot's designation is SM33, which is just Smee. If that tells you what the show is.
Yeah.
And again, maybe it's a little too on the nose. Not for me.
Yeah, I don't think I would have got it. I'm good with it.
Mr. Smee. That's it. I talked a lot.
Okay. I just got two things, and not even reviews. A plug and an admonishment. Okay. Plug. If you've ever been looking at your like DVD case, or if you're too young for that, looking at the up next on a streaming service, and you couldn't decide between From Dusk Till Dawn and Oh Brother We're Out There, and at the same time you were thinking, you know, the imperialistic nature of Christian recruiting has done some bad shit, then fucking Sinners is the movie for you.
Mm.
And also, something I have bitched about a lot is people who stay past the credits for movies that aren't geek movies. Maverick's not joining the Avengers. John Wick is not joining the Avengers. These guys might join the Avengers. You should stay at least midway through the credits on this, because I was watching this movie and I was like, this is a very, very good movie, but I don't think it's as great as everybody's saying. And then they did the post credit scene and I was like, this is a great movie. I love this movie. Second admonishment. The only thing on my long list of things I watched last night that I came down against was White Lotus.
Mm. Well, but, that's good. We were going to relitigate this on my side anyway, so carry on.
So I'm the president of the Wally Goggs fan club.
Yep.
I personally think Jason Isaac would make a better Kingdom Come Superman than John Hamm.
Fuck, that would be good.
And I'm Gen X, so I'm legally obliged to love Parker Posey.
Sure.
So I decided to watch this.
I'm caught up in the Jason Isaac as Kingdom Come Superman because... that broke my brain a little bit.
Because he only ever gets to play bad dudes.
Yeah, no, I'm on board. It just...
And I should say, Sarah has recently had an upheaval in her friend group of groups that she had since high school. Some shit went down. There was a split. So we're watching this movie, and this show, and the three girls on the trip are just 100% the archetypes of three of those four girls that I'm talking about.
Here's the thing. I think those three girls are the archetypes for every girlfriend
right.
group.
And I
think you could slot them into every single group of three women.
And I'm assuming the fourth girl from Sarah's friend group was smart enough not to come on this fucking trip.
Uh-huh.
But I realized this way before Sarah did. So we're watching this show, and you know that meme of like the stuffed bear that's given the side eye? That was me the whole fucking show. So we were probably like four episodes in where she was like, oh shit, this is about my life. And I really wanted, because I have this belief, more of a value really, that you don't keep high school friends. You keep a high school friend, one high school friend, and you keep that high school friend to get together fairly regularly and say, hey, remember that jackass? I'm glad we don't hang out with him anymore. So, honestly, I was kind of cheering Sarah's friendship group breaking up. And I was really enjoying this show. And then, spoilers, if you haven't watched this show, we get to the end, and they don't fucking break up. I'm just happy to be at the table. Fucking double birds to that shit. This was a disservice to society worse than Transformers.
So, White Lotus as a whole worse than Transformers?
I didn't enjoy the first season.
I was about to say, my context was, I know for people who aren't listening to every single episode, you came on one or two ago and said you did not enjoy the first
season. And I haven't watched the second one, but I am going to go back and watch it just for one reason, and this is the only value I think this show has. It's the last stand. It's the man on the tower guarding society. It's the only place left that values celebrity nudity.
Mm.
And for that, I think the show needs to be supported.
That's fair. I appreciate White Lotus because I know every single season, at least three times during that season, I'm going to Google actor, real penis, question mark?
How many times is it a yes?
Like about half the time.
Yeah, 50%.
Whatchamacallit?
Was it Jason Isaac
did an interview. He's like, yes, that was my penis.
Yeah.
Here, let me tell you the dirty deeds that goes into making your penis look good on TV.
You know, I do want to pause before Joseph gets into his rebuttal that while I was watching Nicholas Holt's penis on Nosferatu, that the person next to me was watching the Sam Rockwell bit.
Oh, good.
And it's such a great scene that I found myself pausing mine and just being like, I hope you're cool. I'm going to watch this too. Like, it's fucking killer.
The on other Hollywood penis news, Wally Goggs on Righteous Gemstones recently did a scene where he was water skiing nude, and they used two different penis doubles for him in that.
Apparently it's very important to Danny McBride that they get an old man's penis to be his penis.
I love Righteous Gemstones.
I do too.
No.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I was going to bring up White Lotus anyway. I fucking loved this season. I think all the seasons are good, and I still think it's crazy that you didn't like the first one. But I particularly, you know, I don't think everyone lands. To me, the girlfriend group, well... accurate, probably the most accurate,
right,
was like my least engaged I was with like one of the stories,
right,
for sure. I mean, Wally Goggs is great. It's definitely, I think, I think we take Wally Goggs for granted.
Right.
Because he's so good at these, like, big, boisterous characters. Right. And it's very tempting to make him play those characters all the time, because he's very fun in them. But in this particular one, he's just, like, a sad, tortured man.
Right.
Who's just sweaty all the time and unhappy all the time.
Right.
And it was great. Right. He was great. Him and his girlfriend's dynamic is great. It's really fun. Jason Isaac, again, yeah, like, one of my favorite things he's ever done.
Right.
It's Lucius Malfoy and then this.
Right.
And I would say, you know, put both of them in the Emmy category for whatever the fuck this is. But absolutely, we don't even need to wait till whenever the Emmys are. Nobody fucking knows. But let's give it to fucking Parker Posey right now.
Right.
she is, again, kind of what you're talking about. I don't think anybody didn't understand the assignment, but she just, like, embodied the assignment.
Right.
Like, she was exactly what this show was in a person.
Right, right.
In the best imaginable way.
Right.
It's better than Transformers. I think every season's pretty solid. It's the worst theme song of the three, for sure, which was a bummer. But, you know, good times. Highly recommend.
When we've talked about Knives Out movies in the past, we've talked about people that should be in future ones. We did not say Parker Posey, and we were wrong.
We're wrong. Right. No, yeah. Get her in there.
100%.
She is a prime target for a Knives Out movie.
Honestly, you could have taken this cast,
the whole
and
cast,
put it in Knives Out movie, and I would have been on board.
Yep.
Still an option. let's see what else. My wife and I are still watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We're almost at the end. We're on season 7 out of 8. And after like 5 seasons, my wife turned to me after an episode and said, "This show is kind of just Andy Samberg trying to figure out what to do with his hair for 8 seasons of television." I was like, oh shit, it kind of just is that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It goes through stages for sure.
And I also want to, as an addendum to that, I wanted to point out that my wife said that to me like 2 months ago and has been asking me on a bi-weekly basis if I've said something about it on the podcast yet. I was like, we haven't even done a podcast. He's like, I just want people to know that I'm funny. but it's great shit. I mean primo television. I feel like, I don't know, there are like acclaimed sitcoms the last few years that I've enjoyed. I'm gonna use an example of Schitt's Creek that I think is a good show.
Right.
I enjoy it, but it's like, to me, it's a totally different tier than like your Brooklyn Nine-Nines and your Parks and Recs. And I didn't do The Office, but I know The Office is kind of in that category.
Right.
So yeah, it's great to watch one of these. And then finally, I don't have any anime, but I know that to most people, this is not going to be a real distinction to them. Fucking Invincible came back for its third season a month or two ago, and it's, guys, I don't know, has either of you watched it?
I did not watch it.
It's fucking really good.
I need to get back on.
It's still like one of the best things on television, I think. I mean, the first season is one of my very favorite ones. The second season, I think, is good, too short, too kind of like middle stuff. Third season, back to greatness. Really, really good stuff.
I love season 2.
I'm just going to go ahead and say right now then, fuck you. Because you talked me out of watching this show.
That doesn't sound like me.
When we were doing X-Men, X-Men 97, you said, yeah, you know, if you have this, I don't think you really need Invincible anymore.
I said that. We got to check the records on that.
I know when we did it, we did shit on the animation on Invincible pretty hard.
I remember
that.
I thought, man, that's good solid logic from Joseph. I'm going with that.
Yeah, I might have been in season 2. They make a joke about their own animation quality. And I'm like, you can't fucking do that and just keep putting out bullshit. But no, it's still like one of the most, like, I don't know. It's got this deeply rich character base. And, you know, I know there is a comic and I could find out what's going to happen. But it's still, like, refreshingly surprising for me in a way that a lot of shows just don't have the opportunity to be. Because, like, I'm pretty sure fucking Mark is going to make it to the next stage.
Right.
His show. But they built such, like, this deep cast of supporting characters that are interesting, that I care about. And I know that any one of those motherfuckers could go at any time.
Right.
Yeah. And it makes it fun. It's a really good show. I highly recommend it. But yeah, I think that's it for me.
Cool.
Well, next time, I'm down for Sinners. I'm down for Craven. I'll do whatever.
I will try my best to see Sinners soon.
I think you will enjoy it.
I definitely think I'll like it a lot. But it's really hard to, like, you know, if spoiler for people who don't know, I spent 10 days in Japan without my wife to come home and be like, by the way, babe, I want to go 3 hours to watch this movie.
For some reason, I thought your wife was with you. Why did I think
that? No, I went by myself. I went with other dudes.
Right on.
Yep.
And what happens in Japan stays in Japan.
Lots of dude fuck no.
I mean, you know, I imagine there's a lot less of seeing things you're embarrassed of when you're there with dudes.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Because they have a different feeling about young women in panties than we do.
That's true. Just to be clear, I'll make this clear on the podcast. I saw no women in their panties.
I've just assumed all advertising in Japan is nothing but women in panties.
It's not that, surprisingly. You know, this is not even important. I don't care. We can fucking cut this. I sent this to Joseph. There was an ad. There was a beer ad that was Levi from Attack on Titan drinking a beer. I bought that beer that same day. It fucking worked.
And Ronald Reagan shed a tear in his fucking tomb.
I will say this. This is something absolutely no one will care about listening to this. But I've gotten a lot of Pokestop gifts from Japan.
You have.
From people that I remote raid with.
Oh, but yeah.
You're the first real person I've ever gotten a Pokestop gift from Japan. So thank you.
I'm out of Japan gifts, and it makes me a little sad. You only keep 20.
Right.
I tried to get as many as I could while I was there.
I didn't get a gift for
it. You don't play fucking Pokemon Go.
I think maybe Sinners, if not Kraven. I hope both will be fun. I know you think it's worse. Is Kraven going to be fun?
I would put Kraven... I don't want to go too deep into it. I think talking about Madam Web will be more fun than talking about Kraven.
Then I want to do it just because enjoying this movie, I felt mildly sexist. Mm. I was like, did I just hate Madam Web because they're all girls?
Yeah.
You know, but I need something to make me feel better of myself. So if you can't get to Sinners, we'll definitely do Kraven.
All right, that sounds good. All right, well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Please rate, subscribe, tell your friends about the podcast. Please rate, like, subscribe. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us at realphonies@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter @realphonies. Oh, thank God I remembered. This is real late, and I'm sorry, Susie.
We have an email.
I'm so sorry, Suze.
From Susie.
From Suze. She's probably like, I'm already turning this shit off. They ignored my email. She sent this over a month ago, but it's fine.
What did I do wrong now?
From our good friend Susie, this is what you can look forward to if you write us at realphonies@gmail.com a reading of your email at the end of the episode 2 months later.
That'll kick up some engagement.
Hey, phonies, y'all should watch Mickey 17 when it comes to streaming, because I'd love to hear what you think. I can't wait to fucking
I don't have to be talked into that at all.
Yeah. I can't say it wasn't entertaining, which is a very funny movie review. Ian's catching me up on all the Daredevil seasons, which I really like, except for the constant blood spitting. There is a lot of blood spitting in that movie show because I think it's a pretty cheap effect.
Yeah.
My take on White Lotus is different from Hertz because I look at it more as watching terrible rich people suffer. Lol.
Plus, doing it for the lols.
Plus, I'm a big Carrie Coon fan, and I'm enjoying Lucius Malfoy's Texas accent. Accents were great in this.
Yeah.
Top-notch stuff.
I like that he went to the mat for his accent, too.
Yeah, 100%.
People tried to call him out. Yeah. Like, no.
No. Agree that the press tour for Wicked was really long. I didn't like that they were doing part of the Olympics coverage. We're going to see Snow White this weekend, Susie. Well, Susie, let us know how Snow White was. I'll bet it wasn't good.
I started a rewatch of Daredevil 2. I don't know why. It's not like I have that much free time. But I will say the most surprising thing I found from the first episode of it is that a human sex slave in 2015 was like $1,500.
Wow.
Really, if you think about that, like, it would have been even lower for Liam Neeson. Couldn't he have just paid for it?
Probably cheaper than flying to France.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's a pretty crazy way to think about it.
Oh, anyway, thanks for writing in, Susie. And you can look forward to the same kind of prompt treatment if you email us at realphones@gmail.com. Thanks to Zach Evans for art and Brian Velasquez for our theme, and we'll see you guys next time.
Later.